Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Good morning again. So this is the sort of the culmination of our last few weeks. For the past 7 weeks, we've been on this Lenten journey, seeking to try to understand how to make this shift from ego perception to the kingdom of heaven consciousness. And again, you know, that's a very challenging thought process because all we really know right now is ego perception. The thing is that every one of our egos has a different perception, even when we're looking at the very same thing. All right, so how do you make this shift? And the kingdom of heaven being that special place within us that is our sanctuary for faith, peace, love, and joy. So that the spiritual place within that in which we can be completely unaffected by the circumstances that are happening in our lives. And that's why for the last 8 weeks and probably almost every Sunday service, I talk about this idea of practicing learning how to just be still. Who's been practicing that? All right. Oh, I saw hands shoot up. Good, good. Right. All right. So today, Easter symbolically represents the culmination of our Lenten journey, the day of our awakening from the dream of separation, causing us to rise up into a new state of awareness of our oneness with God. And as our April, I think, just said in the reading of the Daily Word, I think that's where I just heard it, that the, you know, as you always hear me say, the first Adam caused us to fall asleep to the fact of our oneness with God. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came to wake us up to that realization. So today is symbolic of the time when we will shift from personal consciousness with all of its fears and addictions to spiritual consciousness that transcends fear and embraces a love that knows no condition, no situation, no circumstance where it cannot survive. All right? So Jesus gave us the ultimate demonstration of this when he was hanging on the cross, and he said what? Father, forgive them. All right? So in other words, no situation in our lives where the idea is, how do I reach that state of consciousness where no situation in my life can cause me to shift away from love back to fear, all right? So this, you know, incredibly beautiful act by Jesus challenges every excuse we can come up with as to why certain situations don't deserve our love, why in certain situations we cannot have faith that with God all things are possible, all right? Now, one of the five, there's five basic unity foundation thought process. And one of them is knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. A person must also live the truth that he or she knows. So the life of Jesus right up to the crucifixion and resurrection was a great demonstration for all of us of how to become a living demonstration of the truth that we claim to know. And to clarify this point, I want you to listen to this article written by Reverend Joel Fontino from the Center, Spiritual Center of New York newsletter. And it begins with a quote from Herbert Spencer. The great aim of education is not knowledge, but action. All right? And this is what the article says. We can learn all that we want, but spiritual knowledge is meant to be applied to our lives to help us to live with greater and greater awareness. One teacher called understanding the booby prize, because understanding is not experience. Knowledge takes place in our minds and stays in our minds, but action requires our entire body, soul, spirit. The most beautiful spiritual truth in the world is useless if it is not applied to your life and improves it. Whatever you learn that resonates deeply, take that idea and teaching and ask your deeper self to show you how to apply it to your life. Our lives are the fruits of our beliefs and actions, and the deepest beliefs and actions yield the greatest fruits. Today is a day that you can choose to take the highest belief that you can think of and then apply that knowledge in a practical way to your life. By doing this, you will have a full life experience of the best that life can offer. So, you know, as we always talk about, Unity Center Light is a spiritual gymnasium. We come here to work out spiritually, not to just hear the word, but to work with the word and work within our lives. So again, I repeat, just knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. We must also live the truth that we have come to know. And the guide that we follow in this process is the life teachings and demonstrations that Jesus gave us. Now, granted, one of the greatest challenges we have to living the truth that we learn is our way of seeing doesn't always give us ability to see how a spiritual principle can be applied to the experience that we're going through. Is everybody hearing that? Okay. So you're going through some stuff and Will says, you know, what's the meaning of this? And especially, you know, Unity people or Truth people or New Thought people are probably always asking the question, okay, Lord, what is the meaning of this experience I'm going through? All right, so that's the key, is how do I learn, how do I get to a place where I can figure out how to take this spiritual principles that I learn and that I know and apply them to the situation I'm going through. So therefore, it's our spiritual commission to do the work necessary to adjust our seeing from ego perception to God awareness, from fear to love. Or as Paul says, for now we see in the mirror dimly, but the time will come when we will be able to see perfectly. Is that, you with me? Okay. So right now we're going, oh, Lord, I have no idea why I'm going through this or why this is happening in the world or whatever it might be. By the way, how many people saw the movie Collateral Beauty? Oh, my God. Where are the moviegoers here? That is a very powerful movie, and for those who are going to Capon, we are going to evaluate that at Capon, because Pam and I did walk out of it and go, wow, that was really metaphysically deep. I mean, huh? That's what Will Smith, yeah, where his daughter dies and he writes a letter to left, love, and time, and they answer. They show up. It's really a powerful movie, especially for anyone who has had loss of a child or someone very close like that. But we're gonna look at that movie at Capon Springs. That was deep. But anyways, but in that movie, it was that thing where the cloud was over him because his daughter had died and he could not understand how God could let this happen. And he was angry with God and the universe. How many people can relate? All right? And that movie was, and same thing with The Shack. You know, how do I move through these very difficult situations? How do I apply what I've learned spiritually to what I'm experiencing? So anyway, but in the book of John, the ninth chapter of the book of John, is a story about Jesus healing a man who was born blind. And the fact that the townspeople knew that he was blind, but now that he could see, of course, that created a huge hubbub of discussion and speculation. How did this happen? Well, eventually the man was taken to the high priest, which are the Pharisees, and they questioned him about his healing, which of course led to the Pharisees or the priests now questioning Jesus. Okay, so they're sort of asking Jesus, you know, did you do this? How did you do this? So Jesus' answer, which is in John 9:39, we read, he said, "For judgment I have come into the world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind." We're going to talk about that, okay? This is one of those verses where you kind of figure, what is he really getting at? But it caused the Pharisees or the priests to respond, what? Are we blind also? All right? And to which Jesus responded, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But you remain guilty because you claim that you can see." Can you pick up the interpretation? We're going to look at it more, all right? But so let's try to make sense of this. So Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world." Now, if we simply wanted to know what the words "for judgment" meant from a literal perspective, we could just go to the dictionary and look it up. And it would say, "Judgment means the capacity to form an opinion by distinguishing and evaluating the facts." But we know from a metaphysical perspective that there's more than the literal interpretation. The revealing word, the book we use to interpret different words in the Bible, It defines judgment as used in Scripture as referring to spiritual discernment, the inner voice that guides us into a greater realization of who we really are, and as you heard me say before, whose we really are. All right? So when Jesus said for judgment, he's saying to demonstrate the power and the purpose of this inner spiritual voice, this is why I'm here. So for judgment is stuff happens in our lives and immediately our ego perception judges it one way or another, but we don't want that judgment. We want spiritual discernment. We want to understand, you know, what is the spiritual perspective behind what I'm experiencing or what I'm seeing happening in the country or in the world. You get it? See, it's a whole different perspective, right? So this is why we're here, to demonstrate the power and the purpose of our inner voice. And also, as we said last week, we want to be able to say, I know the Christ. All right, when stuff happens, we want to be able to say, I know the Christ. So for the purpose of becoming proficient at being able to become still and to listen, we're seeking to develop this inner divine ability to hear that inner voice that will guide us to spiritual discernment about whatever we are experiencing in our lives. Again, I know the Christ. We don't want to be like Peter, who when his faith was being challenged, he says, I don't know the Christ. And he said it how many times? Three times, all right? So we want to, and you know, we can't criticize Peter, because Peter said it three times we know about, but how many times have we said that? All right, I don't know the Christ, okay? So, you know, anger, frustration, fear, any poor little old me feelings are an indication that we're caught up in a smaller realization of ourselves. Did everybody get that? Okay, a smaller realization. In other words, we're saying, I don't know the Christ. We're not saying the words, I don't know the Christ, but our actions, our emotions, our whole being is saying, I don't know the Christ, all right? So at the same time that we're, you know, feeling small and victimized, at the very same time, there exists within us a greater realization of who we truly are and whose we really are, all right? And this is why the mission statement of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. So our indwelling divine potential is to demonstrate the power and the purpose of our inner spiritual voice. And again, it is to be capable of proclaiming, no matter what, I know the Christ. So I'm probably going to say that several times throughout this, because I want us to get it, that when we're struggling with something and we allow ourselves to sink into fear, you know what I'm talking about, that bone-crushing fear, we're saying, I don't know the Christ. We want to realize that might be what's happening to us, but we're still proclaiming and getting a sense of knowing that I know the Christ. I know that I will be guided through this, right? So these two words for judgment are cross-referenced in Scripture in John 5:22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, the Father we know is referring to God, which is infinite, eternal, that which is the underlying, unchangeable truth. God is not a person, but rather a principle. God is pure potential, what quantum physicists call the unified field. God just is. As God said to Moses, I am that I am, all right? Which means that God is the divine substance that is in all, through all, and in which we live and breathe and have our being, all right? So remember, as I said, when you ask God for a new car or a better job or whatever, God doesn't know what you're talking about. Because God is just pure potential, all right? So the Son, in this particular scripture, is the full expression of God within every one of us. The Son is the true spiritual self of every one of us. The Son is what we call the Christ, divine mind, the living Word. So within each one of us is the living Word constantly seeking to share with us a greater realization of who we are, and say it with me, and whose we are. and how that relates to what we are experiencing. So, you know, whatever you're going through, each one of them is going through, there's something in you just saying, no, wait a minute. That's not who you are. That thing you're struggling with, that's something you may be experiencing. There's something for you to learn from it, but it is not who you are. And it is not whose you are, because we give ourselves to that thing which we're struggling with. You know, it becomes how we define ourselves. And that voice inside says, no, you got it wrong. That's not who you are. I am who you are, all right? So in Scripture, it says, the Father, God, does not judge, but has committed all judgment to the Son, and that we must honor the Son just as we honor God. So again, who is the Son? The Son is the truth of who we really are. The Son is the greater realization of our true selves, and this Scripture is saying it is our spiritual duty to honor the truth about ourselves, the Son, the greater realization of who we really are. So in essence, it's saying we do not belong to this life experience. We do not belong to this life experience. This is how Jesus says, I am in this world, but not of it. I do not belong to this life experience. I am from above. You are from below. You're really from above, but you believe you're from below. All right? And I'm here to show you that, yes, you can go through this life experience. I was crucified. And I did what? I overcame it. Because it is not who I am. Is that making sense? Okay. So the question we must, you know, keep asking ourselves is, in this moment, am I honoring a greater realization of myself, or am I dishonoring my greater self, my Christ, by wallowing in something else? Okay? So the judgment was given to the Son. So, again, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, meaning I am here to demonstrate how to discern and apply the truth principles in everything that you experience. And for further clarification, let's go to John 3:19. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, evil basically in the Bible, or sin, is just saying that you're not adhering to spiritual principle. You fall into fear and out of love. Does that make sense? Okay. And so every one of us who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes into the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been done in God. Now this brings us closer to understanding Jesus' words, so that the blind may see. From a literal standpoint, we understand that once an idea or accomplishment is introduced into the human experience, someone or some ones are going to take it to the next level. So a new discovery becomes for us a light in the world. Is that okay? All right. And for greater, it's a light in the world for greater discovery. So in this Scripture, Jesus is saying, I have come to make you aware of a greater possibility of yourself far beyond the finite understanding that you have now. So when Steve Jobs came up with the iPod, then everybody else said, oh yeah, iPod, I can do that. But before he did it, they couldn't do it. It's like that story of the guy who goes into a bar and he says, makes a bet that he can make an egg stand up on its end. And everybody goes, you can't make an egg stand up on your end. Everybody takes the bet. And he takes the egg and he just cracks it a little bit on the thing and then it stands up. And they said, well, I could do that. He says, yeah, you could do it once I showed you how to do it. You follow me? And so that's the whole thing. You know, we're always saying that things are impossible until somebody makes it possible, and then all of a sudden everybody can do it and even improve on it. Okay? So from this point, you know, this part about, but people love darkness rather than light, here Jesus is saying we are much more comfortable with the shenanigans of our ego mind than we are with the enlightenment of our Christ mind. People love darkness rather than light. And we have to admit, right? You know, we'll sit still for a moment and be in the silence, then we want to come out and do our thing, right? And so that's what he's saying. He says, We're just more prone to that. And again, it's only because that is what we have known. You with me? That's what we have known. So now we're learning. There's a new dynamic, a new perspective. There's this idea that there's a whole other aspect of me that I didn't know about before. All right. So we have to admit that we love to wallow in our ego stuff. And if we are thinking to ourselves, "Oh, I don't wallow in my ego stuff," then we're like the Pharisees who said, "What? Are we blind too?" Right? Okay. And that's what we'll do. All right. So, but let's get back to the main scripture. "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Well, first of all, this is not referring to two different groups of people, but rather two different aspects of our own consciousness, okay? So that within each one of us that is blind to our inability to allow ourselves to be open and receptive to the truth about ourselves and to each other, right? Because we might even get to a point where, okay, I do realize that there is a higher aspect of me. There is a Christ being in me. But I don't see that in you at all. Okay? So it's not a matter of just being able to see it in ourselves, but to be able to see it in each other. Okay, so that truth being, I am the Christ, you are the Christ, we are the Christ. Okay, and as we spoke about in last week's lesson, so many things have happened in our lives that cause us to say, "I do not know the Christ." Remember, it is what Peter said three times because he was afraid. And it is what we say and do when we are afraid. Again, it is quite understandable that things happen in our lives that are legitimately frightening. All right? We're not discounting that, okay? But it is our spiritual goal to reach a state of consciousness where we shift from, "I do not know the Christ," to, "I know the Christ," to, "I am the Christ." All right? Because at this point, instead of having to, have that common reaction that we'll have, which expresses, "I am afraid," we will become still and affirm, "I am the Christ." So the practical application is, you're on 495, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you run over a nail, and you get a flat tire. The first thing to do is become still and know that I am the Christ. Because when you do that, you connect yourself with the universe. And the universe, even before AAA, will get somebody there to help you. I'm serious, right? When you are connected with the city, AAA has got, 5,000 people out on the road that can help you. But the universe has got millions. Oh, let me tell you a story. So Detrice, my daughter-in-law, is in Alaska. It's 64 degrees below zero. She's driving between Fairbanks and the Army base, which she's on, which is a two-hour drive on this. It's a highway, but there is nothing between Fairbanks and the Army base, the fort. And she's driving, it's night, and she hits a patch of ice, and her car flips over. And it's freezing. She's unconscious. And before she knows it, two men pull up in a truck. There's no traffic on the road. They help her out. They get her and they take her back to the base. And the man, these are, bush people. The man saying, "I'm driving and I'm going home." He said, "There's two of us, the good guys, we're going home. And we're going the way up into the bush that we always go. And something in my head kept saying, don't go that way. Go this way." And he's going, "Wait a minute, I always go this way." And he just kept hearing the voice. And so he said, and folks up there live closer to nature than we do, all right? Because they eat nature, right? They depend on nature to live. So he said, "All right, I'm going to follow the voice." And he said, "If I had not followed that voice, I would never came across you." And she would have froze to death. But you know how Detrice is, right? Detrice is connected to the universe. Detrice is the one when she's in Afghanistan and they were bombing where she was and everybody jumped under the desk and she just kept working. And they said, "It's the bombs, get under the desk." She said, "The Holy Spirit will protect me at my desk, as well as under my desk. but you can you hear that story? All right? That's what happens when you can stay in the mindset of I know the Christ. All right? So, you know, so right now, we can't do that a lot of times because we're blind to our own innate divine potential. Right? We're blind to our own innate divine potential. But Jesus said, I came into the world so that those who cannot see their own divine potential will be able to see it. So the fact that the light has come into the world, just like every other person in history who has introduced something new that we thought was impossible, Jesus made it possible for us to know and see who we truly are. Remember, Jesus is not to be looked at, but Jesus is a window to be looked through to see our own divine potential. You know, and how can we, how can we come to our true self? We come to it by practicing slipping out of the grip of our fearful ego and giving ourselves some time to connect and to continue to keep connected to our indwelling divine potential. And when we do that, every time we enter the silence, remember what happens from the three lessons ago. When you enter into the silence, you're allowing yourself to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Remember, John said, I come to baptize you with water. That kind of just washes out the negative stuff that's in your conscious mind. But we're also very much affected by what's happening in our unconscious mind. So when we enter into the silence, we are allowing ourselves to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So what is our quest? What is this scripture telling us that our Christ commission is? Well, the answer is in the first two words, for judgment. Meaning within each one of us, when in each thought we have, each feeling, each emotion, each word, each deed, we're giving the opportunity to judge, meaning to distinguish the difference between our ego's fearful or prideful reaction and our Christ's potential to respond with love and kindness and compassion and understanding and tolerance and patience and gentleness of spirit. And that for us is a huge undertaking. But what we need to understand is that we have fully within us the divine capacity to do it. It's not something we have to get to. It's just something we have to wake up to. I have to realize that I have within me the potential to know the Christ. Every time I get ready to say I don't know the Christ, I got to stop myself and say, that is not a true statement. I know the Christ. So I leave you with this prayer to meditate on this week, and it's from Psalm 25:4. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And for thee I will wait all day long. Amen.